Someone once told me the grass is much greener. We have a lot of cool stuff planned for season 3.
Being proud of who you are no matter what you do.
You definitely see the characters progress a lot more. They start growing up.
And I think Ginger and Darren are endgame.
It is a masterpiece of an episode.
Oh, it's the cattiest moment in the history of television.
Trust me, everybody has been excited for our thoughts on it. Who's the girl in the pink capri?
It's Courtney, it's Courtney!
Someone once told me the grass is much greener on the other side.
Hello everyone, welcome to our final bonus podcast of We're In Between, the podcast that used to talk about every single episode of As Told by Ginger once a week.
Oh no.
I know. What do we do now?
Past tense.
But no, seriously, we are really excited because this is a guest that everybody was excited that we got a hold of. She is the creator herself and probably her biggest claim to fame, the voice of Noelle Sussman. We have Emily Kapnick. Emily, welcome to We're In Between.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Casey, why don't you ask a question first?
Sure, yeah. Well, just diving right in here. I guess I'll ask the hypothetical one first. I am curious, and I'm sure many of our fans are, that say you had, you could do whatever you wanted with a hypothetical season 4 of As Told by Ginger. Where would you start? What do you think it would be about?
That's a tough one. I feel like it's funny. It's been such a long time. I know I've caught up a bunch and I've listened to a bunch of your podcasts now and guests, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, it was so long ago, which it was. But I feel like, we kind of, and I wouldn't say we burned it all down, but there was so much set in motion with The Wedding Frame that it's a difficult thing to come back from. I feel like you would have to kind of, spin it, you know, and do something completely different. Just because so much was sort of upset and, you know, all of the Courtney stuff and, such a big sort of comedic farce that was happening there that I feel like you'd want to do something totally different if you did a fourth season of that show. It's a really hard question. It was one that I sort of toyed with. I knew you guys were going to ask me that, and it's a tough one.
Cool. Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, especially since where to go from there? You know, Dr. Dave and Lois got married. Ginger's in high school. Carl's in middle school. Where to take it from there? I guess maybe we can explore more of the relationship between Ginger and Orion and Darren and Simone. Maybe Carl and Noelle could get back together. Maybe we'll find out what happened to Courtney after her family loses the money. There's a lot to explore, absolutely.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I think it's funny because, I mean, and you have that jump, obviously, you know, to that little pop of them in the future. It's sort of, I feel like if you did a fourth season of the show, you'd want to just kind of do something, like maybe do a real huge, you know, leap in time or something and do something completely different. But I don't know. I feel like I'm happy with the stories that we told.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense. And it all tied together really well. And sometimes things don't need a reboot when you've done everything that you wanted to accomplish.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's funny. I've had shows that sort of were canceled, you know, sort of unexpectedly. And you kind of wish that you had that opportunity to tell more, or do more with, you know, that final episode. And it's such an interesting thing, because when I was looking back at all, you know, what we did with The Wedding Frame and all that, and going out with such a bang and bringing all the characters in, and, you know, it was really sort of, a kind of a real romp, I guess. And you know, everyone sort of had their moment and all that. It's not as understated. And I was watching the episode, one of my favorite episodes, with Tightropes, the Lesson in Tightropes. Mm-hmm. And that ending, I think, was like the end of that episode. In some ways, it was just this very subtle end where, you know, there was so much left unsaid, which I really loved the end of that episode. And I feel like, you know, there's a version of the show that, like, could have gone in a different direction from there. You know what I mean? But I feel like once we got to the wedding frame and we were just tying everything up, it's sort of hard to kind of come back from that.
Right.
Yeah. So my question is, and I've been wanting to know about this since we interviewed the storyboard artist. One of them said that the inspiration for Miranda was Jennifer Aniston. I am very curious to find out that story.
Well, that's funny. I wouldn't say that that's exactly true. I probably had a story. She and I did wind up going to the same high school. And I probably had some story about that when I auditioned for the school, which is so funny that I told that story to the storyboard artist. But I think that, you know, look, there's a lot of inspiration for different characters. And I think that there was so many. It's one of the things that I noticed in rewatching some of the show to sort of remind myself and get up to speed for this was just how many different influences there were and how much of my own sort of, you know, the stuff that influenced me creatively that I could sort of see in the show and the kind of mean girl culture and sort of, you know, I saw hints of so many shows that I felt were like big influences on me that I didn't even really remember, you know, and everything from the kind of social experiment aspect with Courtney and her fascination with Ginger that kind of like hints of Clueless and, you know, different things. I think I took a lot of inspiration from all of the things that were so important to me during that time. You know, and that time of my life, meaning my sort of, you know, adolescence and, you know, that kind of middle school era. So I wouldn't say that Jennifer Aniston in particular was the basis of Miranda, no. But I'm sure I had some good stories.
I'm sure. Speaking of Courtney and Ginger, one of the questions that was said by one of our listeners, and let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, here it is. Yes. From Joyce's 545, she asks, a lot of people claim that Courtney's fascination with Ginger was because she was in love with Ginger. Is this true?
Well, I mean, I don't think in the way that the question is probably meant. I think Courtney was certainly fascinated with Ginger. And, you know, the girls were all kind of fascinated with each other. I think Dodie had a lot of that with Ginger and with Courtney. To me, that just feels very honest, you know, in that sort of age. I think that I was, you know, kind of in love with my girlfriends. And I don't mean that in like a, I don't mean that like in a sexual way. I just mean that there's this sort of, you know, this is your peer group and you're kind of, it's funny. One of the things that existed, I remember in the very, very early pilot script was Ginger talking about exactly how many freckles were on Courtney Griplin's nose. And, you know, I don't think we actually wound up, Courtney doesn't even have freckles and that wasn't ever used in the actual pilot, but that's sort of like obsessive detailing of the girls that you're interested in and, you know, want to be friends with, or even the ones that you are friends with. To me, it all felt very natural. And no, I mean, I don't think that like Courtney was really lusting after Ginger or wanted to be with her, but I think that there was this sort of, she was enamored with her and it was mutual. I think there was a lot of that amongst the girls. They were all intrigued with each other.
Okay. That's, that's actually pretty interesting. Casey, do you have another question?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of your colleagues have mentioned that you and Eric put a lot of yourselves into the creation of the show. And I'm wondering if that was difficult to do or if you found it therapeutic and how you decided sort of which memories from your past to put in the show, how much to change them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was super therapeutic and fun, really. And it was nice to have you know, something to do with all those weird stories of ours. You know, being able to draw from these experiences and gosh, I mean, there was so much weird stuff that happened to both of us that we wound up using. And it's funny, every time I talked to my mom about the show, she would always say, you're welcome. Like all of these, you know, crazy things we went through that wound up becoming fodder for the show.
And yeah.
Who would have thought that my head lice and hairy legs and all that would would wind up for such good storytelling, but it was great fun.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny that you mention Cry Wolf, because we had Leandra on the show and she said that that was very relatable to her, that she had to go through the hairy legs and the poofy hair as well.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed. And it's so weird about the whole shaving your legs thing, you know, and when moms deem that appropriate. I'm like, if your legs are super hairy. I don't remember if we did this in Cry Wolf, but I remember that I just wore knee socks, like, eternally. I just had to wear.
Yeah, in the early episodes, you do definitely see Ginger wearing knee-high socks.
Yeah. I think we discussed, like, making sure that that was tracking, that her hairy legs were tracking throughout. So it's, that's really funny. But, yeah, no, I think all that stuff was great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now I was actually really curious about, you know, how the characters change their clothes in almost every single episode. And then eventually around season three was when they had the longer hair, or the hair got cut, or they let their hair down. Their voice kind of matured a little bit. I'm actually curious about, why didn't the same thing happen for, like, Carl and Hoodie and Blake or Brandon, in which their clothes differed up and maybe they got a little older. I mean, we did see the maturity a little bit, but yeah, but when it comes to, like, the clothes, it was pretty much the same. Was it a budget constraint, or was it an inside joke about how clothes remain the same in most cartoons?
I mean, I think that is for sure the case, that it usually remains the same. I don't really remember making the conscious decision not to do it for any of the surrounding characters, but I remember that we talked about doing it for the girls, that it just became this sort of idea that that took root, that they were going not just to change the way they looked, but advance in age, you know, through the school year, which Carl and Hussie must have as well. And, you know, the idea that, look, I mean, one of the funny things, you know, the idea that we were able to do serialized stories and have the kids actually, you know, growing up and getting older, and even the content of the show got more mature and sort of grew up a little bit, was one of those things that was just very gratifying for me, you know, creatively. And it's one of the things that for sure set the show apart and made it different, but it's also probably one of the things that made it hard for Nickelodeon to fully wrap their heads around, because I think it was just so different.
Yeah, I think that Eric Molinsky, one of the storyboard artists that we had on the show, he even talked about this when we were discussing about Lunatic Lake, about how marketing and pitching the idea to different demographics and different ages was a little bit difficult. Like, when it came to, like, presenting as Told by Ginger in a commercial, or, you know, compared to something like SpongeBob, they didn't exactly know what to do with it. In fact, Nick Splat has recently been uploading, like, commercial clips or 30-second to 2-minute clips of episodes, and I saw the commercials, and then there was, like, one of the commercial clips, and it's like, you know, this is Ginger, her best friend is Darren, and Dodie was telling, you know, this to Courtney, and she admires her and stuff like this. It makes it look like, oh, it's like, oh, you know, she does this and this and that, and all, it just, like, this jumbled up thing. It's like, that's not what the show is, you know?
Right. So what you're saying is that it just didn't seem like they had an understanding of how to market the show.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's probably true. And one of the things that always surprised me was that there was, like, no merchandising for the show.
Yeah. One of our questions was asking about how come there wasn't any merchandising for Ginger. Like, we did have the DVDs, but there was no toys. There was no video games.
Yeah. There should have been diaries, and I feel like there should have been, you know, stuff. I mean, frankly, I would have loved to have had some myself. I think it was a very different show for them, and I don't think that, you know, the sort of toy line, maybe it just didn't feel, you know, like the right audience for some of their more traditional approach with merchandise, but it definitely was hard to not, you know, not take it personally, but I mean, you understood that there was not this sort of same treatment of As Told by Ginger as some of their other cartoons, which I think makes sense in that it was a very different show and it was a little bit more grown up. And I think it was, you know, we were trying to, you know, delve into sort of real issues, and I really wanted to do that, but I think it was, you know, and they were largely supportive, but I think that there were always those episodes that probably made them squirm a little bit and made the show harder to just, you know, I guess want to do, like, dolls and toys for. But there could have been, and there should have been.
Yeah, I mean, one of our running jokes in the podcast was doing a Nickelodeon-themed cookbook, and Casey and I, we were talking about, like, oh, what would be the recipes for As Told by Ginger? We can do Sloppy Jane, we can do the cheesecake pudding. One of the ones we made up was the extra grande triangle quesadillas.
I forgot about that one.
And when we did the wedding frame, we were talking about music, and one of our listeners gave us a huge list of all the songs from As Told by Ginger that should have been on a CD.
The music was great for the show, and it was such a fun thing. I think we all just enjoyed so much, and I love writing songs, and you know, I love working on the theme song, and I love doing all of the songs for the show. And I know you had Jared on. We've known each other forever, and you've worked on all the other stuff that I do as well, and it's one of my favorite things. We actually, Jared and I actually wrote some theme songs for other shows that were not our shows. We wrote the theme song for Clifford, the Puppy Days little
kids. No way.
Yeah, we did. We wrote that, and I think that I'm actually even singing on that. But it's fun. I love writing songs and working in music and stuff like that.
That's fun.
Super fun.
Awesome.
Do you have another question, Casey?
Sure. I guess we sort of asked everyone their kind of then and now with As Told by Ginger. So did you expect the show originally to have the life and legacy that it has now? Like, I mentioned today that I was interviewing you to a few coworkers on the train, and I said, do you guys remember As Told by Ginger? And they were like, they looked at me like I was stupid. Like, how could they not remember As Told by Ginger?
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, no, I'm surprised by it. It's great. It's one of those things where I'm not on Twitter that much, but a lot of my Twitter feed, there are people reaching out about the show. I think I wouldn't say more than my other projects. I feel like there is a lot of affection. There are people who, you know, were really touched by the show, and it was just at that point where it was really speaking to them. They were watching it at, you know, a place in their life where it meant so much. And that's really, really cool. It's really awesome. And frankly, even for me, going back and watching, you know, these episodes again, I love it still. You know, it still resonates. It doesn't feel, weirdly, it just doesn't really feel dated to me. It feels relevant, even though, like, none of the girls are, you know, this is all before social media and everything like that. It still feels like these are kind of universal issues, you know, and stuff that people still relate to, and in the best way. Yeah.
Yeah, completely. I don't think it feels, the only ways in which it feels dated make the show better. Like, I've talked about before that the, like, Jared's sort of transitional and background music for the show just scream early 2000s, and it's awesome. It's so nice to have that, like, time capsule to another era.
Says the music
That's
director.
Totally
yeah, right. It's just fun to be like, oh, right, yeah, like, that is what, like, we thought grunge was in 2002 or whatever. Like, it's, that was always really fun. But you're right, the ideas are timeless and the characters are timeless.
Yeah, and I love, I mean, the grunge element of it. Like, I love when Ginger got to do her band, you know, and remake that song that we saw her working on in, like, an earlier episode, and then she does her, like, Alanis Morissette version of it.
Yes.
And, you know, getting to see her, like, just have, you know, that sort of angst and what she's going through with Darren and stuff, all of that, I just love it so much. It's, you know, our voice actors just did such a good job with the show and the roles, and you know, I don't know, it was one of those really special projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of projects, As Told by Ginger is of right now the only cartoon you've ever created, because after that you went into live action. You did Suburgatory, you did Selfie, you're creating this new show called Splitting Together, and you've done a few pilots here and there. So I'm actually curious, have you ever wanted to create another cartoon?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I certainly would. I really didn't know much about animation before doing As Told by Ginger. It wasn't, I mean, I grew up watching cartoons for sure and liking them. And when I sat down to try and write As Told by Ginger, I didn't really approach it from a sort of animated or cartoon, you know, viewpoint. I actually, the opposite. I thought, why don't we know more about our cartoon characters? It was what I wrote that it was around the time that Welcome to the Dollhouse came out, which was a huge movie for me. And I thought it was a great, just dark comedy, but very honest and biting about the sort of, you know, pain of middle school, and also just very comedic and sort of cartoony in its own way. And I thought about, why has no one ever done this with, like, junior high? And why haven't we seen a show that really talks about sort of the pain, you know, of junior high school in an honest way? And you know, for me, I wanted to have our characters have real issues, like real problems and sort of three-dimensional lives, even though they were cartoon characters. So I did not really approach it from an animated, like, standpoint, like what makes this show a cartoon, although I think I did have some ideas about, you know, like in my back pocket, like if it needed to be cartoony, we could do this. But, you know, much, you know, to my delight, I think Klasky Csupo and Nickelodeon understood that it didn't need, you know, the trappings of what would normally make a show animated. And so, you know, this is a long-winded answer to your question, but I would love to do another animated show. But I think it's sort of, and now I think it's much more common to do shows that are features and TV shows animated that where the characters are, you know, sort of grappling with a little bit more. But back then it was something different. It was something unusual. So I think, you know, in keeping with that sort of same thought, I love animation and I really enjoyed the process of doing it and learning about it and all the animatics and, you know, and working with such a big team. It was really fun, so for sure.
Great. That would be amazing if that were to be, if you were to create another cartoon. I'd definitely be the first to DVR it and watch it a million times. Okay.
Now, we'll watch it live, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, okay.
All right. Now, I'm actually curious because we've talked about we talk about this particular character a lot of times, especially with the storyboard artists, so... yeah. What was the story behind Noelle Sussman?
Oh, gosh. So, well, I know you know all this. I mean, we definitely kind of plucked her from obscurity in the background and decided that she would be this main character. And we had this great storyline for her. And, you know, I have to say, like, in watching the episodes that Noelle is in, every time she opens her mouth, I'm like, oh, gosh. I don't love it. I definitely got like a little bit my arm twisted into doing it, and I think I thought it was like, you know, funny and cute, but like it just, I don't know, it definitely makes me cringe. The funniest thing about the voicing of Noelle, which, and again, I think Mark and maybe even Jared to some degree had like leaned on me to, you know, to do it and or at least to try. And I think that what happened was, what I seem to remember is that Klasky Csupo had a reaction to the idea of me doing a voice on the show, which was not, it's not what you would think, where they'd be like, oh, cool, yeah, no, it'd be awesome to have the person who created it do, you know, one of the characters. But no, I think their reaction was, well, we have to make sure that we've actually, like, really seen all the talent that's available for this role. So I think that I actually had to submit, like, an audition for myself doing Noelle, which is the idea of people sitting in a room listening to me do that freaking voice, which is, you know, she sounds like she's from Transylvania. And I think we pitched it up a little, I don't know. But like then, of course, there were like real voice actors who submitted themselves and then my audition for Noelle. And eventually, I don't think they wanted to say no to me. So like, no, yeah, it's okay. Seems good. So I got the role of Noelle, which is crazy. So funny because I just... Yeah, it drives me crazy listening to her. I love her. I love her as a character, but, you know, it's hard when it's you. I wasn't, like, you know, thrilled.
Well, I just want to let you know that for a lot of people, they love Noelle Sussman.
Good. I want them to love Noelle. It's just, you know, your own voice and that voice in particular. It's just so, so crazy. But, yeah, she's a character, and it was so much fun to write for her. And her relationship with Carl, I absolutely love. And it was so much fun to sort of flesh that out and give her moment.
Mm-hmm. Casey, do you have any other questions?
We've sort of covered my last one, so why don't we knock out a listener question or two?
Or 10. Okay, but yeah, I mean, because Emily is so busy, we'll ask some of the questions that like really stand out for us. So, which is practically everybody. So, if your question doesn't get read, I'm so sorry. Our first question comes from Hundram Pop, who says, "Hello, Emily. First of all, I'd like to thank you so much for the wonderful childhood memories and taking the time to answer fan questions. My question is, are Carl and Hoodsy in a relationship as adults? In the series finale, Hoodsy and Carl are sitting next to each other as Ginger reads her book aloud to an older audience. There is speculation that Hoodsy and Carl are a couple in the future, but it's also possible that Hoodsy is with Macy, given their history, and he's wearing a large ring and he nudges in her direction as the camera pans across the first row. Also, during the series finale, Carl carries Hoodsy into Jonas's apartment like a bride across a threshold, and Hoodsy wrapped in his arms around Carl in a protective manner when they confronted Nikki LaPorte. Does Hoodsy end up with Macy, Carl, or neither of them?"
That's so funny. I love how much everyone shoots all of these characters in together.
Welcome to the internet.
I don't think that he was supposed to wind up with Carl, although Eric and I always joked about that, you know, they're going to wind up together. They belong together. There was like some, you know, I forget one of Eric's episodes, I think, where Carl's like cutting Hoodsy's meat or something. But, you know, obviously a lot of affection between the two of them. And I do think that it was supposed to be that Hoodsy wound up with Macy. For some reason, I remember that was discussed, that there was a little of a glimmer of that. So I think that's the more correct theory.
Okay, so shippers, let the fanfic writing
first.
Begin. Yes, you heard it here first. All right. Amira Isby asks, "Hi, Emily. Thank you for creating this amazing show. This was literally my childhood. Before I go into further detail into how awesome this show is, I would like to ask of what became of Orion since the show ended, once Darren and Ginger returned together once again. I always had a theory that Orion had a tragic ending."
A tragic ending? No, he's fine. Orion is, you know, he outgrew his dark days of adolescence, and he works at BevMo.
Okay. Wow, cool.
No, I loved Orion's character. I don't imagine that he had a really, like, he was a sort of dark and brooding. I thought they had great chemistry, the actors, and I love Orion's part of that song that we did. I forget, that was A Lesson in Tightropes, I think.
Yeah, and it's funny because, thank you to Mark once again, he gave us the animatic for that episode, and Orion was singing part of that song, but it was cut in the final part of the product.
It was, we didn't use it?
No, you never used it. Ginger sings the entire song.
That's really interesting.
You never knew that? Wow.
Well, I just don't remember. I just don't remember that we opted to not. Obviously, we recorded both.
Right.
I wish I could remember why that choice was made. Maybe it was that we didn't want to put too much emphasis on their relationship at that moment.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of weird that he wound up in there, but I actually loved it. I loved him singing it. But I love that song, too.
Yeah, it was a great song.
So, anyway, I think Orion grew up to be okay.
Okay, cool. So, no tragic ending.
Tragic ending. Come on.
Okay. We have a question from Animation Meh, who says, "Hello, Emily. Welcome to the podcast, and it's an honor to hear your voice. While watching while your show ended long after I was a little kid, I stumbled onto YouTube and I fell in love with the show ever since. I want to be an animator, but I want to create my own stories around my own series. Do you have any advice for any inspiring pre-young adult writers?"
I think just to do your work, you know? I mean, I think that now more than ever, I feel like people can, you know, get their own ideas out there. As told by Ginger, I don't know if you guys know this or if it was discussed at all, but it actually came in to Klasky Kupo as part of a contest that they held. Did this come up yet on the podcast?
Yeah, we actually did discuss about this in the pilot discussion, and one of our followers asked the question about out of all the animation companies, why Klasky Kupo? So yeah, go ahead and explain your side of the story.
Right, well, I'll give it to you. My side of the story is that Klasky Kupo held a sort of screenwriting competition And I wrote the pilot script and sent it in as part of this contest that they were doing. And it wound up, you know, winning first place. And we made all these episodes and had a bunch of, you know, Emmy nominations. And it's one of those stories that seems a little bit unbelievable. But I think that there are, you know, you have to kind of keep your eyes open for these sort of opportunities. And things really do grow out of them. You know, anything you can do to get your work out there. This was a time where, you know, I didn't have an agent yet, and I was just sort of starting out, and really wanted to write and be a writer, and you know, sent off this script and wound up with this incredible opportunity where my first job was doing my own show, you know, and that's like a huge, you know, kind of like dream tale, you know, and I think that, that, you know, you have to sort of look for those opportunities and get your work out there as much as you can. And one of the great things about being a writer is that no one can stop you from writing. You know, you just write and, you know, do your work, get your stuff out there, get it made, and do readings if you can, and, you know, recruit your friends and try and find a way to put your stuff in motion, because I feel like that's just, you know, you have to be proactive. It can be really overwhelming to try and figure out how to get your foot in the door. But I think if you just keep jamming your foot in the door, you'll eventually get it, you know, open wide enough for your stuff to slip through. And I think, you know, it's important to sort of remember that and really be proactive and making your own opportunities.
Yes, excellent advice, Emily. We have a question from Norbert, who asks, finally, Emily, we cannot tell you how thankful we are that you've come to this podcast. If the show hadn't been canceled after season 3, we already answered this question about what would you like for a season 4, but but he also recommended a possible TV movie, because Nickelodeon has been doing TV movies lately for their Nicktoons. There's already been one for Hey Arnold, Rocko's Modern Life, and Invader Zim are next, and who knows what will be the next Nicktoon to have a TV movie. So, yeah, that would be interesting to have a TV movie as opposed to a season 4.
Yeah, it would be fun. I mean, I think that, you know, if there were, it would be great to focus on, you know, the music stuff and have, I have an 8-year-old at the moment.
Aww.
And, I have an 18-year-old as well.
Oh, wow.
I know. And, you know, I think for kids content, there's so much good stuff. I think, you know, but all the musicals, the stuff that, you know, that's out there, I would love to do something like that. You know, to do a TV movie that focused on, you know, maybe Ginger is finding this other side of herself or a band or something like that. But it's always fun to imagine.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. As told by Ginger, the Broadway musical.
Well,
okay, no, not too far, but
SpongeBob just opened.
But that would be fun to see Ginger with the, you know, the focusing on the band aspect, because we hadn't really seen a lot of it. In fact, I think I even said in the Battle of the Bands episode that it would have been nice if Ginger and Orion would have competed against other bands from other schools.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
DJ asks, hello, Ms. Kapnick. You may remember me as No Parking Barry on Twitter. I've tagged you on some fan art before. As Told by Ginger has been one of my top 10 favorite cartoons for over 3 years, and I say becoming a fan of it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. Bless you for creating this beautiful Nicktoon. My question is, I know you're more of a writer than an artist or animator, so when it came to creating the look of Ginger and the characters, did you doodle the initial rough drafts of the designs yourself, or did you immediately went seeking for a character designer at Klasky Csupo to fulfill that destiny?
Right. So I did not do any of the drawings for As Told by Ginger. And there was, I'm trying to remember who originally, I think you guys are aware that there was kind of an overhaul of the look of Ginger. Her look and Courtney's look, all the main characters got sort of redesigned. And Leslie Nosek did that. I think that the original artist who did the drawings for Ginger may have been, I feel like it was a Russian artist. I can't remember who, but there was some concern about them not being attractive, which I think that if you look at, do you guys have the animatic for the pilot?
There no, was like this... we only have the animatic for And She Was Gone and A Lesson in Tie Rubs. Sorry, we don't have the animatic for the pilot.
Yeah, that's okay. But I think even the pilot, I feel like Was there a change in the pilot, in the look of Ginger from the pilot that aired and the very first episode, or between episodes 1 and 2, did Ginger get an overhaul?
I did an entire video about discussing about the looks in the pilot to the TV series. So, yeah, there's major changes.
We could change her, right? Because I'm trying to remember if that one aired like that, but I can tell you that that there was a huge overhaul of what she looked like, of what Courtney looked like. Everyone got more refined. Laszlo came in and sort of did. He had also done all of the character design for the Wild Thornberrys. He came in and kind of got all the girls looking Nickelodeon ready, I guess. Although, of course, you know, the classy Chupo style was the Nickelodeon style as well, but they had some issues with the girls not, and I think it really was mainly on the girls. I'm trying to remember. Darren probably got refined a little bit too. I think he did a lot,
his skin got a little bit more darker, his hair was brown instead of the stew pickles purple color, and his headgear didn't squeak.
Yes, that was irritating. I think we all determined that was irritating. but they all got kind of, you know, they had a little bit of work done, and their features got a little bit more refined, and that was that. So I didn't really have much to do with drawing any of it, and Klasky was such a well-oiled machine that, you know, they had their folks who took care of all of the design elements.
All right, that's fantastic. Pink Dolphin 92 asks, OMG, no way! I'm glad that you got Emily for the podcast. My question is, who is your favorite character on the show to write for?
I really liked writing for Macy. I identified with her a lot. I was a very neurotic kid. I, of course, loved writing for Ginger. She had, you know, the media stuff, and I loved getting to write her writing. So even having those moments where we got to do those stories, you know, where we got to hear some of her writing as a writer, that was super fun. So I would say Ginger and Macy, but I also really liked Brandon Higsby, right? I feel like he did not get the love that I expected when I was listening through your podcast. How many people
I've been
so irritating, but I find him delightfully irritating.
I've been a Brandon fan since the very beginning. I've always defended him on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I find him just hilarious.
Absolutely.
You know, really fun to write for.
We have a question from Maria S., who asks, "Hey, Emily, I'm a huge fan of the show. I've been since I was 9 or 10 years old. And let me tell you, it's a real shame that they don't make cartoons like this too often that teaches kids important life lessons and deal with important issues. I remember seeing an interview with you back in 2002 where you said that Ms. Zorsky was based off of your favorite teacher, who is actually called Ms. Zorsky. My question is, did you base Ginger Fowley off of anyone in real life?"
No. But she's right about Ms. Zorsky. Ms. Zorsky was my drama teacher who I loved. And I used a lot of our own, you know, personal history as sort of fodder for stories. And that was great. And that, you know, Ginger is probably just a mix of people and, you know, parts of myself and all the other writers who worked on the show as well. I think we all, you know, really contributed to who she was, but not based on any one person.
Okay. Here's a question from everyone, but the person who actually wrote this question was Selrock, but no, seriously, everybody asked this question. Was there supposed to be another episode between the events of Wicked Game and the Easter Ham that describes how Ginger, Dodie, and Macy patch things up after the major falling out in Wicked Game and being good friends again on the Easter Ham, almost as if the events of Wicked Game never happened?
Well, I sense the rage in your voice while you're asking me this question. I know that this has been a serious issue, fiercely debated. Here's what I'll say. No, I don't think that there was supposed to be an episode in between. No, again, this is a long time ago. I don't remember everything perfectly. But what I do think was supposed to happen is that you were supposed to feel that there was sort of a, you know, the time had passed and that there was an off-screen conversation that sort of took place and mended things between them. And I will go so far as to say that I rewatched the beginning of Easterham. By the way, I have no idea where you guys find these episodes to watch them because it's almost impossible to do.
I know. I know.
I can't find anything anywhere. And
write this down. Watchcartoononline.com. It's illegal, but okay. Unfortunately, we can't buy it on Amazon, iTunes, and there's no DVD. So sorry.
Criminal. It's very hard to watch as told by Ginger.
I know.
But, so thank you for being so sleuthy and finding all this stuff. But I do see the evidence at the beginning of Easterham of the fight between Dodie and Ginger. I see that she's being careful, that they're talking about waiting for Darren, and that Dodie's a little bit walking on the eggshells, like, oh, no, yeah, fine, that's right. So I think that it's subtle, but I think that it's there, and that we were supposed to feel like they kind of off-screen and that push-in on the answering machine, like, you know, there was something that happened after that and they patched things up. You know, again, we told these stories. It's so amazing to me that they let us tell these serialized stories. Because usually there's just resets anyway, like in television writing and comedy in general. You're like, oh, and that just never happened and, you know, whatever. But we really did track through a lot of stuff, even like I was noticing that, like, I think we had a conversation about after Ginger's appendix ruptured, like, what does she look like? There's like rings under her eyes for a couple of episodes. Like, she looks a little rough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy and cool that we did that. And there is, you know, I think you guys have talked about this. There's a lot of really good continuity on the show. So that one, I think, you know, it's a little bit more ambiguous or maybe very. And maybe you guys all felt like that just wasn't, you know, tracked through enough. But I don't recall that there was ever any intention of having like a big come to Jesus moment between Dodie and Ginger after that fight. And the other thing that I noticed is that I went back and I'm trying to remember the name of this episode now. But the episode where Darren starts dating Miranda.
Oh, yeah, that's Kiss Today Goodbye. No, I'm sorry. Never Can Say Goodbye.
And in that episode, I feel like Ginger is experiencing a little bit of what Dodie's feeling. And there's even a scene with her and Courtney in the bathroom that's a little reminiscent of the scene with Miranda and Dodie and Macy where they're talking about feeling kind of marginalized and, you know, Courtney is missing Miranda and Ginger is missing Darren. So for as rotten as it was, you know, what happened in Wicked Game, I think that there's probably part of Ginger that kind of understands also how Dodie was feeling, having been there herself a little bit. So that's my long defense justifying Wicked Game, your favorite episode of the series, from what I can tell.
That's great. That's a really great response. I think another point that you didn't mention is that they're kids too, you know, right? Even though they're mature and well-written characters, kids don't always have a moment of, well, I forgive you. Well, you did this to me. Sometimes it's just you move on and that's it, you know, and no one ever brings it up again. That happened all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah. And also, like, it's funny because, the sort of even the content of what happened, you know, I was kind of, you know, snooping around a little and reading some of the reactions and, you know, message board stuff about that episode and how angry people were about Dodie's behavior and how could Ginger have a friend like that. I had so many friends like that. I had so many friends like that. frenemies or whatever. And it's funny because the actual storyline for that ambush, that like three-way call ambush, and again, this is before social media. This is before people like, you know, leaving nasty comments. I mean, don't tell me that everyone can't sort of identify with, you know, friends who are not really your friend. And I'm not saying that Dodie isn't really Ginger's friend. She is. But definitely a lot. She's always had very sort of, you know, misguided sort of attempts at what she was trying to do and in you know, becoming popular or endearing herself to, she seems very susceptible to, you know, Miranda, and all of that influence. I'm really amazed that I'm able to discuss this in this detail at this moment. But I think it's funny because to me it feels very human, as you were saying, and you know, true to that age where you're not really, you know, mature yet, and you make all these decisions that are bad. And so someone had brought in, and I think it might have been Eric, who may have brought in an actual article about some like telephone ambush thing that had happened with a three-way call, something very similar. And we just decided to do a story like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, totally. And you're a braver soul than I, going onto the internet forums about your own show. I don't think I could handle that. So kudos to you there. Know that everyone making those comments do love the show. And I find it kind of frustrating that so many people... We talked about this with Aspen, how much they hate Dodi. And Aspen had a great line that was, you know, Dodi represents the ugly animalistic side in all of us. And I think that's so true, that some people might not like her because they see themselves in her.
Yeah, totally. That's funny. I'm glad that Aspen wasn't crushed by that. But yeah, I mean, I had a bunch of Dodis in my life, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for the in-depth discussion about Dodi, and Orion can get it. I hope that I hope that your answer of, you know, Dodi and her controversial ways was answered well. We have a question from, this is actually a really good one. We have a question from Amir Kamsa, who says, "Greetings, Emily. I enjoyed the series and I found it recently to show my nieces and nephews. One thing that struck me about the show was Courtney, despite living in luxury and having it all, she went to Ginger as a way to bring herself back into humility, which she seemed to crave. What would become of Courtney since she didn't appear in the finale? Would she and Ginger still be friends? Would she be rich again? Thank you and salutations from Lebanon."
Wow. Salutations. I don't know. I mean, I think I haven't put that much thought into what would have happened on the other side of that finale. But I do think that Ginger and Courtney had a real friendship. And I think that assessment is just right. I think that there was this fascination with Ginger and how someone who seems to have less might actually have more, and this, you know, wholesomeness to her friendships that Courtney was just completely enamored by and fascinated with. And again, I think there was this, we saw that, you know, early on, this sort of social experiment aspect where it was like, can we take a girl like Ginger and, you know, make the hot guy, you know, fall in love with her, or the French student kiss her on the, you know, ski lift or whatever it was. And that there were these sort of like, you know, her initial motivation for her interest in Ginger, whether it was inviting her to her parties or, you know, originally it may have started off, you know, from a place of maliciousness, grew into like a real genuine appreciation of who Ginger was. And I think vice versa, I think that Ginger was, you know, probably enamored with Courtney and didn't really see her as a three-dimensional person. And I think we watched that change a little bit too. You know, she sort of got to know Courtney a little bit more, and Courtney at times was even a good friend to Ginger, a really good friend to her.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people really loved Courtney throughout the remaining seasons, and they love the fact that as the seasons progress, she became more and more interested in learning about what Ginger knows and hanging out with her and mm-hmm. Dodi and Macy more. And, you know, even in season 3, she doesn't hang out with Miranda and Mipsy and the other girls anymore.
Yeah. I think I would like to think that they were friends and would continue to be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a question from Jason, who asks, "Hello, Emily. Thank you for creating such a great series. I have a question. Looking back now, was there ever an episode that was not allowed to air that you wish would have made it into the series?"
Not allowed to air.
Yeah, was there a story that you wanted to write about Ginger, Dodi, and Macy, and then Nickelodeon was
that
like,
we didn't
let's not.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like, gosh, I really can't remember if there was. I feel like we got to do some version of most of the stories that we wanted to do. I don't remember that we got shut down about anything, although I think they did sort of shut a few things down in their own way by not airing certain episodes. Which I kind of, I'm trying to remember if I knew that or if I only knew it from hearing you guys say it. But I think that some of those edgier stories, those more grown-up stories that I fought so hard for, wound up not airing, maybe?
Yeah, one of the first episodes that never aired on Nickelodeon but did air on the Nicktoons Network was Stuff Will Kill Ya, where Ginger becomes addicted to coffee. But then other episodes like, A Lesson in Tightropes and Dodie's Big Break and even The Wedding Frame never aired on Nickelodeon or even on the Nicktoons Network. We only saw The Wedding Frame only on DVD when it came out in, 2006. And for the other episodes, we had to wait 12 years for them to be released on Nick Splat. And as of right now, Battle of the Bands is still never been aired.
Well, that's really weird.
I mean, it's so weird, and I even told
because that one's not provocative. Battle of the Bands. I don't think there's anything that's odd to me. Some of the other ones, like Stuff Will Kill Ya and Less Than Tightropes, I feel like I might know why those didn't air. But then I don't know if the other ones also didn't air, then maybe it wasn't a content thing and it was just, I have no idea, but it's a bummer. But I love those episodes. I love the kind of darker, edgier ones. I love the ones where we, get to see, Ginger struggle with real stuff and have real issues. And, those are my favorite episodes. I always really wanted to kind of push the envelope in that way and have her, grow as a character and again, feel really three-dimensional, that it's not just, the kind of one-off stories and the sort of like junior high comedy, but that we do tell some of those struggles as well.
So unfortunately we still don't know why those episodes never aired. I guess, Casey, I guess we're going to have to talk to the former president of Nickelodeon to find out what happened.
Just keep going deeper?
Yes, let's go to the end.
It's like we're uncovering a conspiracy at this point.
Consuming.
All right. We have a question from Web Fingers, who says, wow, this is great. Given how popular reboots are nowadays, is there ever a chance for As Told by Ginger to come back? Or at least, would you be interested in it?
I don't know. I think if we had a fresh take on it, and I don't know, I feel like we kind of covered this. I haven't spent that much time thinking about another version of the show, but I feel like I loved it so much. I loved it enough and I love the characters enough that it would be fun to revisit in some way. And I feel like I've been asked this before. I feel like we've talked about, what are the fun ways to reconceive of the show and, if it were a live action version or I don't know what, but I love the show enough that I would certainly be interested in it. Even though I don't have a season 4 idea ready or a reboot idea ready.
That's so okay. Don't worry.
I've revisited it.
Totally fine.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. Don't worry. I'm sure that if it took 15 years for us to get the Jungle Movie, then I'm sure, if you take your time with all your other projects and if you ever think about, let's go back to As Told by Ginger, I'm sure people will be ready enough to see it.
Wow.
We have two more questions. One of them is from Grass is Much Greener, and this person says, hi, Emily. As Told by Ginger is such a beautiful show. It has a special place in my heart and even helped me went through some of the hardest moments in my life. Thank you for creating this wonderful world. My question is, did you know the ending for Ginger from the very beginning, or was it something that you and the writers developed throughout the series? Did you always know that Ginger was going to end up with Darren, or was it part of the creative process of growing up with the character as the story goes?
The latter. I think that, we didn't have, I wouldn't say that from the beginning we knew where we wanted it to end. I think that once we knew that it was likely going to end, we were sort of steering things that way. And I don't think that we ever would have wanted to close the door on Ginger and Darren fully because of just what a great connection the two of them have. And ultimately, I think that, you want to feel like those two found their way back together. And even with the Simone stuff that happened and, you know, and Ginger and Orion and everything that came after, I think you just wanted to believe that there was sort of hope there. But no, I don't think we set out to tell this show and these stories knowing where we were going, because it's hard to know exactly how you want it to evolve. But when we, you know, landed on sort of these ideas about the wedding frame and how to treat that and treat the story, you know, that was being told in hindsight, that all made great sense to us. So I think that was kind of found organically along the way.
Okay. And our final question, and this is one that we've asked to everybody on the show, we've asked to all of our guests. Now, when looking back on As Told by Ginger, what do you think of the legacy as a whole?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I feel like the legacy, I'm really touched, I mean, by how much the show resonated with people. I'm touched by the amount of time and energy that you guys have spent, you know, dissecting it and rounding up all the people that worked on it and with so much love and affection for the show. I mean, it's really all you could hope for, you know, in creating something and having this work out there, that, you know, your show would find an audience that has, you know, so much fondness for it and maybe even continues to find an audience, even when it's so hard to find the actual material. But that element of it is delightful. And I think that if anything, I wish the show were a little bit more accessible so that, you know, we could watch it again cleanly and maybe that, you know, more people could find the show. And it was great. It was like just such an incredible experience for me creatively. I loved every moment of it and watching it have this sort of life after, with all the people that it touched, has been amazing too. So.
All right. I think that's pretty much all the questions. So Emily, thank you so much for coming onto this podcast. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, this means so much. It was wonderful to hear from you, and congratulations on everything since Ginger.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, actually, by the time that we post this this bonus podcast, we're going to actually post it on not only the day of your new show coming out, but we'll also post it on the day that it's actually going to be your birthday that day.
Oh, yes, thank you.
So,
well, that's a lovely gift. You shouldn't have. Thank you, guys.
Yes, everybody, as soon as you're done listening to this, flood Emily's Twitter with birthday messages.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And mine's the day after, so it's really just an early present.
It was well worth it. Trust us. We were more than excited and willing to wait for us to get a hold of you.
Yeah, the timing worked out very well, actually.
Great. Awesome.
So, why don't you, discuss more about your upcoming show? Anything else that you want to plug or self-promote?
That's mainly it. I have this new series that's debuting, as you said, on March 27th on ABC, and that stars Jenna Fischer and Oliver Hudson. And it's called Splitting Up Together, and it's been really fun. I'm super excited about that, and working on some other stuff too. I'm writing a 1-hour pilot for TNT that I'm really excited about. That'll be my first 1-hour. So, that's pretty much it.
All right. That is our final bonus podcast for We're In Between. And for everybody who has been tuning in this past year, or you just started listening to us recently, just simply thank you. We cannot fathom about how appreciative we've been with all of your amazing comments and feedback and support, and just overall we mean this from the bottom of our heart. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, that should be it. So let us know in the comments below about your favorite episodes that of As Told by Ginger that Emily wrote. Let us know your thoughts about the other shows that Emily worked on, such as Suburgatory, Selfie, and if you are, listening to this on the 27th, let us know about what you thought of Splitting Up Together. So, yeah, everybody, that's it. As for what other show we're going to cover, if we're even going to do one, I have no idea. We've gotten a lot of comments.
Stop asking us.
Yeah, stop asking us.
I feel like how Emily must feel about everyone asking about more As Told by Ginger. It's like, done. Let it rest.
All right, but no, seriously. Thank you, everybody. Whatever, you know, check out Casey on the Friday Night Nicktoons podcast. Check me out on Casual Chats. So... That's it, everybody. Hope to see you around soon, and thank you for listening.